Welcome to today's Sticks and Dirt Kidbit podcast. It's a Christian-based kids ministry broadcast for the family of teachers, volunteers, and like creative soul winners, sharing experiences and experiments.
Welcome to S&D Kidman Talk Show Podcast.
Thank you.
It is Super Bowl Sunday, and I meant to have the Super Bowl NFL theme play for the
copyright.
Oh, no, we've done it before.
Spoiler alert:
the Chiefs. Well, I mean, I don't have it on here. I wanted to play it, but I didn't have it put in. So today we're going to be talking about the Lion King. Our last podcast we did a teardown or whatever of Peter Pan, and kind of extracted some things and thoughts out of that to use for teaching fodder, I guess. And everyone kind of liked it, and we decided to do another one. Plus, we'll be doing a third one. I think Travis and Alexa wanted to do one.
Let's keep it going.
We can always come back too. I mean, there's so many of them out there you can extract stuff from, because they do make some genius stuff out there. Mm-hmm. So, but we're going way back. How old is Lion King now?
It was like 11.
It was made in
98.
19.
I thought it was made in 95.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was made the year I was born.
Are you serious?
95. I'm pretty sure.
Is it that old?
Are you the Lion King? Jared?
Roar.
94. June 24th.
It's
older than me.
Wow.
Holy cow.
I mean, Peter Pan was like super old.
It was before I was born. But I kept maybe thinking in my head, Lion King was like 2000 or later, but no, it's way back there. So, yeah, it's still hanging around. It's still there. And so I just asked the guys to consider the Disney Lion King and take a segment, a scene, several scenes. I got lots of stuff on it. We had too much time to work on it. We kept having cancellations and snow days and stuff, and we couldn't get over here to do another podcast as quick as we wanted to. And so gave me more time to sit there and add more stuff, which I didn't need to, but I did anyway. So if you have thoughts on Lion King, what kind of lesson can you pull all that and use for a little point, a little scene that you like that, hey, I can teach on this, get something out of the Bible from it. Tell us what you think. Who wants to go first?
The plot, it's kind of, I think of, mine's not like that important.
Hold on, folks, we are so sorry. Travis coughed or sneezed. What was that, a sneeze?
Sneeze, yeah.
Okay, we can't allow our listeners to hear that, Travis, okay, so you need to let us know. So let me take it out of the podcast. Hold on.
Podcast edit.
If you're able to make your sneeze like a cough, you're doing it right. I was going to say that the only thing I really got out of it, other than like the plot of it that I know so far, is that Mufasa gets killed by his brother, right? He throws him off the cliff.
Scar.
And then like so Simba has to kind of take over, I guess. So you could parallel that to like the death of Jesus. You know, so Jesus is dead, and you know, he goes, go into all the world, and greater things are you going to do than I did. So go out and go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them, you know?
Yep.
So that kind of thing. That's all I got. I mean, don't Timon and Pumbaa, like, don't they help him become king? Like,
right.
So just, I would say,
well, I got a different take on that part, like, but go ahead.
Maybe. You think they're hindering him?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
All right. I don't really.
No, but go ahead and follow through.
I've watched Lion King 1.5 more than I've actually watched Lion King.
Yes.
So I would say that, but I was also going to say that Timon and Pumbaa, they're kind of like weird to be helping him become king, but like, I guess you could, you're going to destroy it, but no. I guess you could say that, so there will be some people in your life that you might not think will help you in a good way, but they actually do. You know what I mean? Like people who you don't expect.
I think they played an important part in it when it comes to friendship and stuff. So I'm not saying it's, you're right or wrong. It's just
he knew that journey.
Just the different opinions we're seeing, perspectives that we're seeing. So
Randy's gonna be like, this is actually taking place in a parallel universe.
No, nothing like that. No,
they're all robots. There's like that whole light and darkness aspect.
That's what I was gonna say.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what we talked about, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that the light touches.
Yeah, everything the light touches.
So, like, the Badlands and the Pride Lands.
Like, don't go to the dark place and stuff like that.
See, I don't really remember.
Heaven or hell type. I don't know, living in the light even. Just, you're supposed to live in the Pride Lands where the light is shining. If the light's not touching it, it's the Badlands. Like, don't live. It's don't a
bad
go there.
Place.
Mm-hmm. So live in the light.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time you guys watched it?
Oh, dude.
I watched a few clips in preparing for this. I watched just some short clips.
Probably
when the new one came out.
Yeah.
Like the
so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know. I've watched Lion King 1.5.
We did watch Peter Pan, but we did not watch.
Yeah. You've watched it 1.5 more times?
Yeah. 1.5.
It's a good one.
I watched some short clips on Lion King in prep for this. So, and this stuff started coming back to me. So, anyone else? Justin, Justin here has come out of surgery here just a couple of days ago. So he's just kind of quiet and still.
Loopy.
Yeah, a little loopy, a little bit.
Still got an IV
real
on him.
Slow. So
in the hospital gown, I'm a little. Are you supposed to be out?
Yeah. Nope. Actually, why are you in your hospital gown still?
It's comfortable.
Why are you wearing two?
I never noticed that until just now.
Because you don't want to see them.
They do have malfunctions, you know. They
sorry,
don't tend to stay in place very well.
He's not supposed to laugh.
Oh, we can't make him laugh.
Sorry.
That's miserable.
Man. This is not a good idea.
Is that like a real thing? The doctor is like, you can't laugh.
No, it just hurts.
It hurts.
Yeah. Kidman language here. Be aware. Be advised. So,
probably the last place you should be right now.
Right.
I'm considering leaving.
If we make him laugh too much, he has to leave because we don't want to bust those stitches there. Bust so the we gun. Can't. If he has to get up and go, then we can't blame him. So, anything else you guys want to add? Because I've got so much stuff, I'm not even going to get through it all. But
that one scene where Mufasa is about to die, and then all of a sudden, Hong Kong Fooey.
Oh my gosh. There is this one part at the end when Simba comes back, and they're all like, "Mufasa returns," and stuff like that.
Wait, what?
Like they think he's Mufasa.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just gonna say something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't. That's all I got. I don't.
But like, it is almost kind of like a
whoa.
Like Simba's almost like a Jesus type.
Yes. Because his father was Mufasa was talking to him through the clouds.
Because he's God.
So Simba could be like Jesus, and then.
Because
you know what I mean?
Okay. He did talk
Mufasa could be
stars.
The father, mm-hmm. but they're still one.
Yeah,
you
and he's
clarify.
The spirit of the father
they're still
to the flesh.
He's
the
one who's
going to
fulfill the the plan.
Now and think about, and I'll jump ahead into some of what I was going to get to anyway. So because you're already there, this is where Simba is with Timon and Pumbaa, and so he's kind of in the wilderness. He's left Pride Valley. Is it Pride Valley or Pride Rock? He's left Pride Rock. The where the lion's den is at, basically, and where they they went out into the wilderness, and so that's where he's at. So Jesus was in the wilderness.
Oh.
So there's a little bit of a thing here where you can kind of interject the John the Baptist thing because Timon and Pumbaa were eating locusts and bugs.
Yeah,
a little funny thing there.
It's actually kind of a common theme in the Bible to like go out, like even when you think of David, he had to like. He had to be like with Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
He lived with like Philistines for a while. Mm. And so when Saul is trying to kill him, he's like not even living in Israel.
So there's a wilderness in all of our lives that we go through. And there's things you learn in the wilderness, I guess. So I'll kind of go. You said him having friends in the wilderness with Timon and Pumbaa was a good thing. I think it was a bad thing because Simba. His natural calling, his thing was to be king, to be the Lion King. He has a kingdom to take care of. He was an heir to the throne.
He was kind of hiding.
And he was running away from it. And Timon and Pumbaa kept him there because they developed the Hakuna Matata.
What a
no worries.
Phrase.
Don't take no responsibility, Simba. Stay here and just take it easy. And whenever... what was his his girlfriend?
Nala.
Whenever she grew up and they come out there and met in the wilderness and saw each other and realized who they were because they hadn't seen each other since they were cubs. She was, and it showed it in the video, pretty explicitly she was really excited to see him. And she wanted him. She represents what we talked about in Peter Pan, Wendy. She represented the girl who was embracing reality. Mm-hmm. And she knew that he needed to be back in the kingdom and be back there. And so I think she was the one that was going to pull him back that way or help aid him back in that direction. Timon and Pumbaa had the look on their face like, oh, no.
But one could say that Timon and Pumbaa were like thinking they were doing the right thing, and Simba thought he was doing the right thing because he was tricked into believing that he killed his dad.
Yes.
That's true.
That's why he was doing it, because he was deceived.
So they're all thinking they're doing the right thing.
Like if he wouldn't have been out there, then his dad wouldn't have died.
So he didn't know his rightful place was the king. He thought his rightful place was in, like...
Because he honestly never went back after that. Like, because he thought everyone would hate him.
He took guilt upon himself.
Condemnation.
So there's a lesson of deception, condemnation, guilt, and a lie being put upon you from somebody or something or a society, and you absorbing the guilt and believing a lie, and it robs your place of being part of the kingdom. So there is a real good spiritual parallel there. That we, you know, that can be taught to kids. Hey, you know, when you grow up and get out, you're young and impressionable now. You're full of that potential. And there, unfortunately, this is the hardcore truth. There's people around you that will take advantage of your youth. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, don't despise thy youth. But there are some people out there, evil will take advantage of you and try to blame you at a young age and make you so guilty and make you feel that you don't belong here in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And will push you away out into a wilderness somewhere to where you'll be in an area and an environment where you'll be singing Hakuna Matata. I have no worries. I have no responsibilities. And this is the way life is supposed to be. And eat bugs the rest of your days.
Can you imagine like one of us just sitting on a pile of rocks? Hakuna Matata.
Look at this millennial over here.
I'm not going to work. Hakuna Matata.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a real thing. I mean, that really happens with people's lives.
I would say, yeah, like his point, though, I wouldn't go on bashing Simba in all of that because, like, I guess, yeah, I don't even remember that. Like, he thought he killed his dad. And also
because
just,
he was in that situation. Yeah, that's
even though that, like, yeah, he should be doing what he needs to be doing. But at the same time, that's a lot of pressure.
And he never did go back. So for all he knows, everyone hates him. And like, if he would go back, they wouldn't want him to be king anyway. Like, you know.
True.
It's probably how some people view the church.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See?
Because you don't even, like, you don't confront it. You're just like, oh, they'll hate me anyway, so I'm just not going to.
And here's a real good twist to all this stuff, or a real good epiphany in all this. The truth was not revealed to Simba until he was facing evil itself. Till he was in the wilderness, and he came face to face with his adversary. When he was on the edge of the cliff, and Scar had claws dug into him, getting ready to release him down in the fire towards the end of the movie.
Oh yeah, so he does.
And Scar whispers in his ear, "I killed your father." That was the truth that he was that Simba was hidden from. Wait, all this time.
He says, "I am your father."
No, that's different. And he goes, "I'm the one that killed your father," pretty much. And that's when the truth was revealed to him. So Simba received the truth in the middle
of his trial in the wilderness. So he does go back thinking that he still was responsible for it.
Yeah.
So he does go back still thinking that.
He came back.
Because Nala had a good reaction to him. So he's like, well, if Nala's not mad, then...
He found that encounter in the wilderness with... image looking in the water, saw the reflection of his self, and it changed to his father. And you've seen the expression on the face, and the water changed more of his father. And it was kind of saying, "This is what you're made to be." And so sometimes you can say, you know, if you're confused about what you need, look in the Word of God. It'll show you what you need to be. It'll show you who you are, what God made you to be. And that encouraged him to get up and go. Yes.
Did you already talk about the? sorry.
No. What?
Did you already talk about the cloud of Mufasa coming in?
He
said, "Remember who you are.
Yes.
You are my son."
I was just thinking this. I just realized, why couldn't the cloud of Mufasa, like the ghost of Mufasa, just say, "Hey, you're not responsible. Like, Scar is the one that did this."
Because he had to learn.
He had to learn himself. Yeah.
It's a journey.
It's like why Jesus just didn't decide to write a book himself. Right. And he's like, I'll leave it to these guys.
Yeah, sure.
And like, why?
Saying, "Hey, guys, this is that, this is this. Let's not confuse it.
Because that's like God taking the cup from Jesus.
Yeah.
Take this cup from me. And he can't do it.
He gave us a will, and we have to follow, you know, he gave us a will to go by. So there's the very first part of the movie, I think, once you think about this, I don't know how often you see this too much, but you see this a lot in the Disney films, how they really spend a good scene defining the evil character and, you know, pretty much putting this character in his place and presenting to you what this person stands for. And Scar, it's just there. Hitler, tyranny, the march and all that. It was very reflective of the Nazi regime and everything. It's just there. Mm-hmm. And it showed his organized structure and uniformity and conformity to him. And so that's the type of character that Scar was. He was disgust sensitive and not so much of fear. So, you know, there's lots of things that just disgusted him more than anything. He rejected all the alliances when he took over, when he stole the kingdom. He rejected everything that the alliances did. He didn't treat them fairly. The hyenas, you know, he just used them as a tool, you know. And in the end, you see where he tried to throw them under the bus when he was facing off Simba. Hence, when he got knocked down in the fire, the hyenas heard all that. And so they pounced him and ended him off there in the movie.
Right.
And so that came back to bite him in the end. Literally. And so
Literally,
yes. And so I think his character was trying to say stuff like, if you're a second class, you're beneath me and you don't need to exist. And so he literally ruined Pride Rock. And you've seen the scenery change from when it was colorful and the butterflies and green grass. And when he took over, everything became desolate. And so there's a big parallel, you know, when you let evil take over, when you accept a lie and you believe and you take on that guilt, you run away from your calling, from your ministry, from whatever God wants you to do, where God wants you to be. And you run away from that, and what you're supposed to be taking care of becomes desolate and dry and barren, and you have family and friends still living in there that is affected by that. Mm-hmm. So there's a big tie-in that whenever we run away, ignore what God has called us to do, there's a consequence to that, that mm-hmm. when we depart from it, there's a spiritual consequence. And why I think it's so relevant to kids, because this happens to Simba when he's a cub. He's a child. And so sin and evil doesn't care how old you are, doesn't care what gender you are or anything like that. It's going to play on you, and it's going to take advantage of kids a lot. More than we want to admit it and face it and tell kids, you know, this is why you need to stay prayerful and stay, you know, stay close to mom and dad, the teacher, and Sunday school, and stay close to God, because there's evil out there, and it's out to get you. And we're not afraid to sit there and watch it in a Disney cartoon. Why do we silence ourselves from teaching it and telling kids? Because that's exactly what they're teaching them in real life. And I think it's kind of our responsibility in some way to let kids know, hey, there's a heaven, there's a hell. Mm-hmm. There's God, and there's a devil, and there's us right in the middle. And one's fighting to pull us one direction, one's just to, hey, come unto me. And we have to make that choice which way to go. And so Disney has a way of presenting hell to kids. It literally did. The fire, the flames, the evil, the tyranny, it was presenting the hell and chaos to children. You know, kids were watching this.
Isn't there another movie that ends with, like, forest on fire? Is that, like, Jungle Book or something, like Tarzan or something?
Not Cinderella.
What is it?
Has Maleficent in it. Sleeping Beauty.
It ends with what?
Maybe I'm thinking like a live action Disney.
Ends with what?
Like the forest and trees on fire.
I believe it was Sleeping Beauty.
Might be Bambi?
No, I think you're thinking of the live Bambi action Jungle Book.
I think I am.
In the beginning? Wasn't it in the beginning?
Because that's how he gets to. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
It was the Jungle Book.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. Live action Lion King wasn't very good.
So we talked about young Simba in the wilderness with his friends. There's one part. Yeah, that we talked about the blame. I actually categorizes off in little titles. The Blame. Scar places the fault of Mustafa's death upon Simba. We talked about that, and Simba accepts Mustafa. It. Mufasa.
Mustafa Ali.
Type autocorrect is what it is. I put a Mustafa in it. He runs away into the darkness, and Scar takes possession of Pride Rock. The escape, we talked about that. Simba runs away into the desert, and when you leave the kingdom, regardless of how tyrannical, you become desolate and near death. We need the kingdom no matter how imperfect to our standards we may find it. So there's a reflective point there that no matter how imperfect we find ourselves, we still need the kingdom. We need each other. We need to stay in the kingdom. And sometimes we look at our own imperfections and we run away from it. And we say, I'm not worthy. And take it to the extreme and run away and hide from everyone. Bugs. Yeah, go eat bugs. And Simba runs into the wilderness with his dopey chums there. And the adolescence. He's growing up here. He's a young kid, young cub. And so he's in an adolescent world, and the impulses of the moment take over the precedence of the future in his life. So he's more involved there with the nothing he has to take care of, the nothingness. And whatever he wants to do, whatever impulse he has, he can go do it. If he wants to go take a nap, he wants to go jump in a pond somewhere, chase bugs, he just does it. He doesn't have to take on responsibilities, and he doesn't care about the future right now. And those have consequences to all of us in real life. So,
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
I started signing all my checks. Hakuna Matata.
Now, what was the bird's name? Zazu?
Yes.
That was okay. Now, Zazu was the one who flew over everything, and he always come back to report to Mufasa. Monster or monster?
You're getting him mixed up with a guy we used to know from
Spring Lake. Yes, that's what it is. We have a guy whose name was
Mustafa.
That was his real name, so that's why I keep thinking.
There's a wrestler named. Is it the same guy?
Was there really?
There's a wrestler named
Mustafa Ali.
Yeah. Zazu, the bird, I think represents an overseer, the vision of the kingdom, because he could fly over and see everything. And so it kind of parallels, I think, to our vision. And there's a scene where Scar locks up Zazu in a cage.
Oh, yeah.
Reflecting that, you know, when we let a lie take over and let evil take over, it hinders our vision. So Zazu couldn't fly up and see out there and advance anymore. He was locked in a cage and he was restricted to fly. So that's another effect of allowing the darkness to come in and take over our lives. We have no vision. We don't care about what's out there. And Scar didn't either. He didn't want to report. He didn't want to hear nothing. Right. He didn't want to hear no bad news that of anything coming or whatever. He just wanted to be left alone, and he just wanted dominance. Mm-hmm. So
what about the baboon or the monkey guy?
Rafiki.
Rafiki, yes.
He's probably the past kind hut.
He
can run from it or learn from it.
He's like the Yoda.
Yeah.
He was part of the transformation.
Fairy godmother type.
He came in during the transformation. He was the knowledgeable guy. I think he represented the knowledge, I think, and the wisdom. And he as Simba was in the wilderness, this is when the transformation in Simba's life took place, when he met the cloud figure, his father, saw the reflection in the pond. Mm-hmm. And Rafiki was the one to represent knowledge. And the comical part was when he bapped him upside the head with his staff. Right. He knocked sense into him. And that, as comical as that was, I remember that scene because it just struck me funny. I was an adult watching, and I thought that was hilarious. But now I look at it and I think the reason that's so funny because it's so stinking true. Sometimes we need someone to bop us upside the head and to get us back on track. And that is so true. And that's what happened to Simba. You know, and Rafiki wasn't mean and rude. He was just being silly, and he knew what he needed to do. And he did it very tactfully, and they did a great job of portraying this and animating it out and in the script and everything, and used that club to whack him upside the head.
Then he said, Simba said, what did you do that for? He said, who cares? It was in the past.
Yeah, yeah. But subliminally, it was knocking sense in the cat. Cats. So, and from then on, things began to change, and he had that come to Jesus moment, I guess. And the kingdom still has a son to rule over it, and so type of moment. And so I think that led into the reflection part. When Simba looked into the water, we mentioned that, and he saw the man that, or the lion that he could be. He saw that and realized he needed to go after it. He still didn't know the truth, but at least he had revelation of where he needed to go and where he needed to be. And so the truth came later on in his life. And that, I guess finding the truth at the end is kind of explains a lot of our questions, especially kids have, is why, you know. Sometimes we don't know why until an end of something, end of a phase in our life, an end of an episode in our life, end of a season, you know, why things are happening. And we may not know the truth, the element of what's causing this, but somehow in the end, when God brings us through it and we fight our adversary face to face, and it looks like you're getting ready to get tossed off into chaos, into hell, in a way, is when you find and embrace and the truth is revealed to you. And that gives you a power up. And truth gives you so much strength and so much energy and gives you that righteous indignation or whatever you want to call it, that courage, that spirit to fight and to overcome and to take back what was originally yours. And that's what Simba did. The kingdom was stolen from him, and he came back, and truth helped him to get that strength there in the end. So,
remember that scene where they kicked out all the leopards, and then one of them came back? Or no?
Is that a joke?
I am trying to. I was like, oh, that's cool. I was thinking there was leopards in this.
Oh, and only one came back to say thank you.
You had me going there for a second. Okay, did I miss that one? Because it seemed like it fit. So I guess at the last part, the return to the kingdom. Like I said, Simba comes back and it's like, this is not what I left it to be. You know, everything's dark and desolate and dried up and burnt and whatnot. And he was looking around and saying, you know, seeing his other cub friends that were growing up in this. And so he realized the responsibility that he had denied and had to make up for this some way, somehow. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, except at the very end, the restoration part. As soon as Scar was defeated, what happened? Do you remember?
It rained.
And what do we talk about in rain in church? What's that parallel to?
God crying. Washing away.
Revival. Washing away. Revival. A lot is referred to that. So when the truth was revealed and sin was defeated, restoration comes. It started to rain. And so Simba has matured and he takes his place upon Pride Rock and stakes his claim for the kingdom, and the land is restored back to life. And at the end, it starts the cycle, a return to the beginning, a new life cycle. They have their kid, the cubs, and continue on from there.
So if Simba is actually Mufasa?
I don't know. You lost me on that one.
Because you said it's just a cycle, so what if it just repeats and then
It's the circle of life.
Circle of life. There, thank you. Yeah, the song. What the song said.
It moves us all.
Or Mufasa went through the same thing.
With his dad's uncle.
Well, not every cycle has the same thing. I mean, Mufasa lived out. He just got killed off by his
generational brother. Curses.
Generation, yeah. So, a lot of neat, deep stuff there, but still, it's good. Anything else you guys pulled out of that?
Can't think of anything.
I came in late, so.
What would you have? I mean, even if it was something that we may have already talked about, we may not have.
I was really just going off everybody else.
So you didn't prepare for this at all, did you?
I know the movie. I
honestly haven't, I haven't seen it in a long time. I was probably like a little kid last time I saw it. I remember putting ketchup on my brother and stuff like that. Like, that's how young I was. It's probably 16, 17.
16, 17. But, okay. Well, there's some stuff there, too. Now, we have done this before in the past, where I remember when we first got started working here at this church, there was a couple lessons I did that I took off, actually took a video clip, 2-3 minute video clip out of a Disney film or whatever, like from Toy Story. The one I remember the most is off Disney's Cars, the race cars.
Ka-chow.
And I took there was a good one in there, I thought.
They're all robots.
Yes, they're all robots. Was that there's an element, do you remember the movie Cars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is one I think was overlooked a lot, but for some reason it caught my attention. There was a race car in there who was retired. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name.
Doc.
And he was...
The Hudson Hornet.
The Hudson Hornet.
Race car name, but everybody called him Doc.
Doc, okay. So he was an elder. And so there was some reflection in there how some of the race cars kind of rejected him, kind of shunned him off. But the main one, what's the main guy?
Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen.
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, thank you. He took to his advice, and he respected, you know, what he had experienced in his life. And so there was a real good little analogy there, you know, about respecting your elders in that film there that you could teach kids about, and actually show a little clip, that little scene where they talk to each other, and he absorbs what he tells him, what he learns from the past, from an elder, and how he respects it, and it helps pay off in the end. So little tidbits like that, you might find some nuggets like that in these films to use. Take up that little clip and play it and draw a parallel from it and teach from it. So it's a good little tools to use. So what else? Anything else?
You guys, I'm trying to think of any others from any other movie.
I know we did, before we did our Toy Story theme, I did a couple of Toy Story things. The sin, Sid. So Sid represented sin. And that, again, that was another... parallel to where the toys would find themselves in the wrong territory. Mm-hmm. So
what's the newest, there. What's the most recent Pixar movie that came out?
Oh, geez.
Soul.
Soul?
Soul.
I haven't seen that.
I've seen that. That's pretty good. Soul's pretty good.
Is it?
I haven't seen it yet.
I liked it. It's pretty nice.
Onward? Is that newest before?
I don't know. I think that might have been DreamWorks.
Oh, is that not Disney?
I don't know, but it was good.
I mean, it's on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah,
oh, I guess
it was
Disney Pixar.
So, all right, we'll pick up another Disney. Which one did you guys want to do?
I don't know. What I can't remember. What was it?
You said Jungle Book.
I said Jungle Book.
So does Disney now include Marvel movies?
Yeah.
WandaVision is next, guys. We're gonna do WandaVision next.
They're all owned by the same company.
So good.
I'll just keep it with.
We could do
the cartoon.
Sports Center too.
Sports
Sports Center
because they're all under the same umbrella.
So we'll
Disney owns everything.
We're gonna on the burner here. We're gonna be doing a parallel talk on Jungle Book. Now, is this gonna be the original one?
Yeah.
Okay, the original cartoon. I mean, the live one was pretty much spot on with the same plot.
I guess. I remember I was scared of this huge snake, man.
I know, right?
I have nightmares about snakes, man.
So we'll watch the original cartoon. It's a lot easier on you.
Wait, was it Carl or was it Kai?
Jungle.
I don't even remember. No,
that's
I think
Kai's name.
Oh, Milo?
Cobra Kai.
Is Milo the kid? Dude, I want to watch Cobra Kai so bad. We're not talking about what.
No.
Mowgli.
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 Mowgli. Mowgli.
That's
yes.
The little tiger, right?
No, that's the little boy. That's the little jungle boy.
We need to watch it before.
The tiger's name is Shakira.
Shakira.
Man, everyone's yawning today.
Some of us take responsibility and work.
I know, right? Tell me about it.
We had kid.
I got to get the house ready for Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got Super Bowl Sunday.
We had church this morning for the first time all year.
Yeah, that's true.
It's worn out.
And we'll talk about that here in just a second. Before we get into the toy box, Super Bowl Sunday today. Now, we did the predictions here a few podcasts ago, and I predicted the Tampa Bay would go all the way with it. What do you guys think?
I want Tampa Bay to win, but Chiefs are going to be hard to beat.
Okay. Travis?
I think Buccaneers are going to win. I think it's going to be 42-10 at halftime.
What? Yeah. What? Like they're going to be down?
Yeah, like Buccaneers, halftime, we're like, going
to
know the winner.
The Buccaneers are going to be winning 42-10.
Tampa Bay.
I don't know who's playing.
Tampa Bay.
I was thinking that too.
Or Kansas City Chiefs. You have Tom Brady, the experienced veteran, who's been to the Super Bowl 10 times. Won 7, right?
This will be
no,
7.
He will
this
win 7.
But he's been in 10.
He's been in 10, yes.
And you had the new rookie,
Ben 10,
who this is his second trip to Super Bowl?
Yeah, and he won last year.
And he won last year.
I'm going to go with the rookie.
And he's the young one.
But it's more than just.
It's so like the underdog
this
story.
This is the epic face-off.
It's like an underdog story.
It
like,
really is.
Big goat and little
like
goat.
Like Rudy, except Rudy was offsides.
Stop it.
Alexa.
If you say Rudy was offsides one more time, you're kicked out of the house.
Alexa, who's going to win the Super Bowl? It's Beth Ring.
Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Okay. I want Brady to win.
Okay. Fair enough.
He deserves. But what do you believe?
He's deserved it many times.
But okay, yeah, that's a good point.
He's top, man. Like
whatever you
who do you think? Who do you think?
Who will win? Different team and go to the Super Bowl.
Statistically, who's going to win?
Okay, there's like a oddly meme thing where they compare Patrick Mahomes with Russell Wilson, and it said second year as Russell Wilson starter. The first year he's as a starter, Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes lost in the playoffs. Second year they both win the Super Bowl. Third year they go into the Super Bowl, but Seattle lost to Tom Brady.
Oh. Justin thinks Chiefs are going to win
because he hates Tom Brady.
Yes, because he absolutely hates Tom Brady.
Because he's a winner. Okay. Like, why are you
well,
going to hate a winner?
He doesn't hate Tom Brady.
I mean,
very
at,
much
some point,
dislikes
it very at some point, dislikes it. When you win it all, winner. Like, why are you, like, you did it. Like, back you're off, done. Let some other people.
That's why I think they're just, people are just, like, more mad because they can't just say, oh, it's because Brady and the Patriots offensive line. No, it's just because of Brady.
I used to not like Tom Brady until he went to the Buccaneers because I thought it was just because of, like, the Patriots like cheating and schemes and
Patriots
stuff.
Need
but now you can tell how actually good Tom Brady is.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he didn't have Gronk?
You know, he's supposed to be up to be like the most, I don't know, the best athlete, period, over every athlete.
No,
basketball.
That's LeBron. I'm sorry. That's LeBron. His political views aside, it's LeBron.
No, I'm just. No, they're saying that he might be it. If he wins the Super Bowl, they think that he could probably top the most.
Okay,
the best athlete of all.
I would say winning. I mean, him and LeBron have been to the like championships 10 times, mm-hmm. but Tom's won more.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like the.
And I don't know how you calculate that. I mean, I don't know what
they're
you look
two
at.
Different sports.
I mean, basketball, LeBron, baseball, all of it. The
LeBron
best
just
athlete
shatters
of
every record, though.
Well, then he's shattering like every Michael record. Phelps, he did the same thing with swimming. Like mm-hmm. you could say the same thing.
It'd be interesting to find out how they actually calculate that. What do they look at? You know, because you got so many differentials
with
every sport.
Let's give them all the same physical test. And see who wins. Just like school.
They fight each other.
Just fight like to school. The death.
Yeah. Celebrity death.
Like when they did that with Michael Phelps, I'm like, how can he be like a best athlete because he's only
swimming's hard, man.
I know swimming's hard, but you have no opposition except the water.
Dude, it's
but
hard.
Who's not running? I mean, any sport you're running.
He's in shape, bro.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You gotta be any athlete gotta be in shape. But when you're in football, you got other guys coming to take you down.
But you got a lot of breaks. Like, think about basketball. You have to keep running. But, like, football, you can just sit there 20, 30 seconds there and be like, hut, hike. And then
hockey's
they
even
get
more
breaks
aggressive.
In between. Yeah.
Right.
Like
hockey's even.
People go to hockey just for the fights.
Oh, I would.
Hockey's fun to watch in person. It's really fun to watch in person.
That's the only reason we go. Of course, if there's not a fight, we're disappointed.
What's my favorite?
Lex's favorite part of football is when they all get in a circle and tell secrets before the.
Mm-hmm. The huddle.
Yeah, I just want to know their secrets. Yeah,
sometimes I'll just binge watch vehicle dash cam accidents.
Toy box!
I was a young warthog.
Sing it, Travis. Sing it again. It was off in the back. Get in the microphone.
No, I meant it to be off in the back.
Well, do it in the microphone.
No.
Go.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen. No. Was it Pumbaa or?
Pumbaa.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Timba.
He got that Timba.
Pomone.
Pumbaa. Pomone. Whatever.
Timba and Pomone. I'm not doing it. I don't
know. Oh, man. Jeez.
Let's go back and listen to it.
Just come on. Rewind.
Yeah. All right, let's just go through. Hey, Gus.
Get those kids in.
Gus Polinski, would you please get the polka dot band ready, and let's get through this. Yeah, easy for me to say. And off to my left is Travis over here. He has his tiny hands with him today. And a while back, he had posted some videos and pictures of his tiny hands, the little plastic hands, and they're fun to play with. And he's actually trying to pick up a water bottle now with them and not being very successful. But he's here today with his wife, Alexa. Please welcome Travis and Alexa Johnson, everybody. They are our kid minister team leaders right now. And so over to my far right is my daughter. She's holding my grandson, Justice, who's taking a nap right now over there. Very sweet. And Justin is not in the room right now.
I made him laugh too hard.
Justin's medication has got him so loopy, he's wandering the church halls now in his hospital robe still. So let's give it up for Justin, Taylor, Justice, and Kyler Binge, everybody. Say hi, Taylor.
Hello.
And in front of me, I'm going to say that guy for last. Let's give a round of applause, because I always seem to forget to give credit where credit is due, because this guy back here leading the music plays the best polka dot music, him and his band, the Polka Dot Band, and they play consistently every week for us. Let's give that for Gus Polinski and the Polka Dot Band, everybody. And last but not least, he's our youth minister here at our church. He had a very big day today. He baptized today, right? He actually, is this your first baptism today? He baptized one of his young people today in Jesus' name, and it was one of his first ones as a youth minister here at our church. So let's give it up. Even more reason to call him Epic. Ladies and gentlemen, Jared the Epic Henry.
I took a picture of you, Jared. He's messing up.
Yeah, you guys are doing phone picture stuff and you're laughing. I'm not in the mix of this. I need to know what's going on.
I'm trying to take a picture of my tiny hands.
Well,
with my
if you took
jokes.
Responsibility, Randy, you'd understand.
I'm taking responsibility of this podcast right here. It's easy for you to say. So
you got responsibilities now.
Responsibilities.
What in the world?
Welcome to S&D Kidman Talk Show Podcast. We are 101.928 on your podcast dial. The big burp. No, I said the big burp.
That's gross.
You need to say like 1.21 gigawatts.
The only podcast on your podcast dial. No mask required to listen. What's up? We say every week. Visit our mothership on sndkidman.com. You'll see our social media links there. For Facebook, Instagram, and I think MySpace. Everyone's connected, but not Twitter. Subscribe, like, and share. That'll help us out. And so find our podcast at your local Walmart, Starbucks, Targets, and wherever fine podcasts are sold, but not at
Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. Yeah, sorry.
I told people that it was at Golden Corral.
You need to take that back.
To do a Jim Hopper.
Then they had to go to Golden Corral and
wait, is his name Jim?
Then they had diarrhea, so.
Either way, unlike any other podcast, we have weather and traffic. Some have just weather, but we have weather and traffic every 16 on the 52s in our with Bob and the S&D Traffic and Weather Skyjet.
Hey, Bob.
There he goes. Right now, our lines are open. Just dial or text 9.
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
And yes, and with your question or comment, we'll get you on here as soon as we can. So, Taylor, you watching the phone over there?
Yep.
All right. Let us know when something comes in. We'll get them on there.
Okay.
And when we're done here, after Toy Box and everything, stay tuned after the show for the All Request Hour coming up later where we play the deep cuts and no hits. So...
Hey, you can't look at him. You're cheating.
The disclaimers. Yes. Not responsible for personal theft of items left in car. Actual prices may vary. Rebates must be postmarked no later than a day after hearing this commercial. See dealer for details. No toys or harm in the recording of this commercial. And shake well before use. All right. What we got in Toy Box? What are we doing first? Restaurant Impossible or
sure. Yes. I got okay. a guess.
I'll let Taylor win.
We gotta get our theme. Who's got our theme music for Restaurant Impossible?
Oh, I'll get it. Hold on. Here.
Oh, you're late.
I got you.
Jared's gonna pick something stupid.
No. You see, you're killing time. It's killing me. You're supposed to be have your it. Theme ready for Restaurant Impossible. Taylor thinks she has this one solved. I got a good guess.
You want me to go? Oh, I guess we can.
Yeah. And
that's not Mission Impossible.
That's not Mission Impossible.
Better than Mission Impossible.
Really?
Jared was going to pull that out, too. Okay.
All right. Music fades to black. Restaurant Impossible, where we are trying to guess Alexa's favorite restaurant with, we can take a guess every week, and we've not had it right, obviously. That's why we're still playing it, and we all ask a question in regards to her favorite restaurant. She chooses to answer only one of those, and sometimes two is a bonus. So
yes.
Update us on all the wrong guesses and the questions we have answered so far. It's a long list. Okay. We're taking a deep breath.
This could be the day, though, guys. So you guessed The Cheesecake Factory, Red Robin, Old Spaghetti Factory, Ryan's, Big Red Shanty, Cheddar's, Chili, Steak and Shake, Olive Garden, Crystal's, Appalani's, The Capitol Grill, Primanti Brothers, Big Boy, Burgatory, Mama Cheese, Denny's, Cheese. Big Bear Burritos, Sheets, Table 9, Morgantown Brewing Company, Sargasso's, Green Turtle, Chuck E. Cheese, Pies and Pints, Qdoba, Polka Dot. Are you done over there, Travis?
No.
Muriel's. The Rambling Root, Dairy Queen, Copper House Grill, Romano's Macaroni Grill, A&W KFC. All wrong. Our clues, though, it is dine-in. It is not the University Town Center. It's not in Pittsburgh. It's not in Washington, PA. It's not in Greater Pittsburgh area. It's not in Morgantown. Has 3 stars or more on Yelp. It's about $2 signs on Yelp. We've never eaten there together. My favorite dish there is a pasta dish. There's one at Disney, around Disney.
Around, it's not in.
There's one around Disney. And it is like somewhere, like a touristy. How do you word that? Like a tourist,
tourist attraction.
Taylor is so right.
You'll find it in tourist areas.
Not a tourist.
Guess my answer.
Okay. No, you want to guess first?
I have a guess.
Go first?
Yes, Taylor.
Hard Rock Cafe.
Okay, that's a good one.
Where's it going?
And that, in there,
you're barking up the right tree.
Now, wait a minute. You can't give them clues out like that yet.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
supposed to wait.
So it's yes not no. it. Mm. I'm going to say with all the consideration.
I didn't say it wasn't right.
With all the consideration and everything, I'm going to say Little Caesars. That's actually good pizza for $5.
but I didn't say pizza. I said pasta. Do they pasta at Little Caesars?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want pasta from Little Caesars. I don't think I would like that.
I'm going to say the chicken coop.
What?
What's that?
It's a restaurant. The chicken coop.
Mama Cheese and chicken coop.
Does Justin have a guess?
I don't know. He gets in Texas. I think he's on the other side of the wall.
Justin!
He might be bumping into a wall and not realizing it.
So, wait. So Disneyland's in Florida, like Orlando, right?
Disneyland is in California.
There's one in California. There's one in Florida.
Are they?
It's a restaurant you're going to find in touristy areas. Like, it's a very
Hard Rock Cafe
touristy
is
restaurant.
A good, That's, good answer.
Yeah.
I hope it's the right one.
I'm like... Oh, I don't think about
she
that.
She said we were barking up the right tree.
Well, let's give a drum roll here. And Alexa, did any of us?
Jared hasn't even guessed anything.
Oh, wait. Hey, guys.
Are you going with Little Caesars?
Yes, obviously.
Oh, we're not waiting on Justin. Guys, we could get this today.
All right. We're waiting on the drum roll here from Gus Polinski.
No.
Okay, my question. Is it in California or
it's
Florida?
It's all over.
Listen, it's a franchise.
It's a franchise that's
But there's nothing it,
touristy
it
areas.
It doesn't exist around here. From baseline clues.
None in West Virginia.
Hard Rock is a great guess, though.
Why?
It's that type of joint.
So that's probably our biggest clue. So we need to find those type of restaurants like Hard Rock. And I can't think of any. I wouldn't know where to start. So now we get to ask a question. We all three of us get to ask a question, and she gets to answer one of them unless she wants to answer two or all three.
Hmm?
Do you remember what it is?
I remember it. Yes, I do.
So do you guys have a question?
I really want it now.
Have they guessed my favorite one?
What's your favorite one?
I'm not guessing your restaurant, Travis.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
The one that I thought about doing, too.
Maybe.
They're both similar.
I'll have a question.
Okay.
Is this restaurant, I know it's a franchise, but is it international?
Yes.
You don't have to answer.
Oh, dang it.
But sure it did. Thank you. Bonus.
What is wrong with you?
Bonus, everybody. This is an international restaurant.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
She meant like, yeah, that's your question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. My question is is it a Gordon Ramsay place?
Ooh.
Listen, I love Gordon Ramsay. If there's one celebrity, if you were to ask me, Travis, if you can meet one celebrity, who would it be? Gordon Ramsay.
He'd just tell you to like go away.
That's fine.
In the not polite way. That's
fine. You enjoy it.
I know.
My top three favorite people, Stephen Furtick, NF, and Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
Top three celebrities.
Stephen Furtick's a celebrity now.
Yep.
They have a pre-show.
All right, Taylor, what's your question? Or Jared, did you have a question?
My question is, what gives you the right?
yours was...
mine was... What did I say just now?
Is it a Gordon Ramsay restaurant?
Is it a Gordon Ramsay restaurant?
Okay, and Taylor?
Hold.
Is it a music-themed restaurant? Like you said, Hard Rock Cafe is barking up the right tree.
Rocky Robin Cafe.
Is it like a musical-themed restaurant?
That's interesting.
I changed my question. I retract my question and ask her the same one. So
you have to pick one of those two questions because you answered mine accidentally.
You want to ask another one?
I'm going to say...
I'll do it again.
It's not musical themed.
But it's Gordon Ramsay themed.
No, it's not Gordon Ramsay. If Gordon Ramsay would take it over, it'd probably be even better. But
yeah, it wouldn't.
So it's
not Gordon Ramsay. So she basically answered both questions right there.
If he went there for Kitchen Nightmares, would he like
Oh, he'd go there for Kitchen Nightmares. Would he probably hate it, yeah.
What? It's that bad? But it's...
He has very specific tastes.
Wow. When I tell you the answer, I'll explain why it's my favorite.
Okay, so...
So what we're getting from this, can I just
say
another...
Five Guys pasta and fries.
Can I just, pasta and fries. There is a theme to it.
There's a theme to it. Not musical, but there's a theme.
Tis something.
Huh.
There's so many
And the theme is the main... The ambiance is what I like.
Yeah.
The ambiance? So they have like a spa while you eat in there?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Gordon Ramsay's spa and steakhouse.
It's the experience for me. The experience.
Taylor's actually doing research. And
yeah, she and Taylor's
and research. And Jared's throwing right out like Little Caesars. He's wasting guesses.
I know, right?
Caesar salad.
All right, so that closes it for Restaurant
that tears
Impossible.
It.
That tears it? Okay.
Think real hard. Next week will hopefully be the last. Hmm?
We'll play the outro song there to close off the segment there. Yeah, there we go again. Waiting on our... Sound guy. There it goes. All right. It's time now for...
Jared. Hold up.
What you got for us, Jared?
We're still doing Bible trivia.
All right.
We did novice last time, right?
I believe so.
Oh, man.
So there's three more. There's intermediate, advanced, and then expert.
We should just do expert. We're not going to pass it, but let's just do it. It's just to see what kind of... Just to see what's actually in there.
Let's do expert, and the category is people.
Oh, my.
So it should be kind of easy, maybe, not really. Oh, my. Okay. So, question one. This is like fill in the blank with the verse. Okay?
Okay.
I don't want to. If we blank our sins. Oh, okay. If we blank our sins, he is blank and blank to forgive us our sins. So, if we A, blame others for our sins, he is happy and sad to forgive us our sins. Okay, that's A. B, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and happy to forgive us our sins. C, if we multiply our sins, he is just and sad to forgive us our sins.
Oh, my gosh.
We confess our sins, he is willing and kind
that one.
To forgive
D.
us.
That one's D.
Wait, there's
D.
one more.
What are we
oh,
no.
Be patient.
This is...
If we confess our sins, he is faithful. And just
that one.
To forgive us.
That one.
The very last one.
Are there any more?
Yeah. All right. Two, why did they bring Abishag to King David?
Because.
To be his wife, to make him warm, to serve his meals, to be his nurse.
So to be his wife.
I'm going to say wife.
I want to say
nurse.
B. So they're all the same thing. I want to say B to make him warm because when he died, when he was about to die, he had to have people around him to keep him warm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I kind of want to go with that.
I want to go with the nurse, but whatever you all think.
They're all pretty much the same answer.
Yeah. Are they?
Though? Wife, nurse.
They all fall under their wife category.
What do you think, Taylor?
I said wife.
I'm thinking nurse.
I think he only had
You're
two
saying
wives.
Warmth.
I think it's a trick question.
I don't think.
I say wife.
It's We're all split. He only got two wives.
We all got.
Only had Michael. You only had Michael and
Bathsheba.
Bathsheba, okay, True. Three. Bathsheba and then that one girl. So he's not a wife.
Okay.
Oh, that's true.
Nurse or warm?
I'm going to say
warm.
All right, go ahead and put it in there.
All right.
Get it, girl.
Three, in what way was Azza afflicted in his old age? Foot disease, gout, boils, leprosy.
Gout.
Gout, like straight up. Gout. Were you going to say gout?
Gout's good.
Watch us ace this,
just because,
man.
Just because I said gout.
How many lords did the Philistines have during Samuel's childhood?
How many what?
Lords.
Lords.
Like rulers. During Samuel's childhood. Two, three, four, five.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think it's five. No, five.
I'm going to say four.
No, I'm thinking of when Abraham and all the kings were fighting each other. That was five, but it's a different. I don't even know. Anyone's a guess is mine.
I'm going to say four.
I'm going to go two. What do y'all think?
Two, three, four,
I like
five.
Four.
So we got
Travis?
Two for four.
Four.
All right, put down four.
On the way to find his donkeys, Saul met three men at Tabor.
True.
What were they not carrying?
Donkeys.
Three kids, three loaves of bread, a bottle of wine, three turtle doves.
Turtle doves.
When was this? Was it set?
Who would be carrying kids around? Well, I guess it's not.
What were they not?
Could be goat kids.
Goat kids.
Kids are baby goats.
Kids
are
that are
kids.
Baby goats are called kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So three kids, three loaves of bread, a bottle of wine, three turtle doves.
Who were not carrying these now?
Yeah, they were not carrying.
Who?
Saul met 3 men at Tabor.
Let's say bottle.
Or to Tabor.
I'm going to say turtle doves.
Yeah, that kind of sounds weird.
But what if that's right?
I want to go with turtle doves. I'm oblivious
what about
to this
you guys?
One.
I'm going to say wine.
I want to say turtle doves.
All right, it's turtle doves.
It's going to be wine.
All right, check our answers. Let's do this 100%.
Right. Whoa!
No. I'm speaking in faith.
Oh.
And the answers are generating right now.
They're already generating. No drum roll. Okay. Number one, if we confess faithful, just, we were correct. Two, why did they bring what's her face to King David? To make her warm. That is to make him warm. That is correct.
Oh. So we got it right.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did it.
David was old and couldn't get warm. Someone suggested he needed a woman to warm him. And they looked and found Abishag.
If I was going by name, but I wouldn't know if I want to pick her or not.
Yeah,
like,
if they said, these are the five names I'm going to give you. Pick one woman to keep you warm. Is that the best? Was that the best of them?
Wow,
though?
That's beautiful. All right. Number three, in what way was Azza afflicted in his old age? We said gout. That is incorrect. It was foot disease.
It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Azza suffered from a foot disease in his old age.
It's the same thing.
Pretty much. We should have.
I thought picking gout was more specific.
Gotcha. Right, number four, how many lords did Philistines have during Samuel's childhood? We said four.
I said two.
The correct answer was five.
Oh, so we all missed it. All right.
I don't understand how this category was people. I
number
like
five.
Yeah.
They would tell you like the answer.
The answer would be people.
The answer would be people.
Number five. On the way to find his donkeys, or the other word, Saul met 3 men at Tabor. What were they not carrying?
Donkeys.
We said three turtle doves. We were correct. We scored a 60%.
They had
three out of five. Three out of five.
Okay, that's an expert.
Two turtle doves.
Good job, team.
That's not bad at all.
Okay. How many turtle doves did they have, though?
Two turtle doves.
Did they have three French hens?
It said French hens.
Just two.
Did they have one partridge?
Okay, we have
how many French trees?
We have a new segment here we're going to do real quick.
What?
I thought it was going to be, I was going to have Taylor pick off these little Instagram reels. I thought they were off TikTok. because they're like a little 30-second thing or something clip. And I was going to call it TikTok What You Got, but we don't like TikTok, so we get them off Instagram Reels.
It's called
It's called The Real Deal. Thank you. And so what she is going to do, she's pre-recorded and captured some Instagram Reels, and she's going to play them. Now, we have to listen to what's the sounds and what's being said. We have to guess what's going on.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Someone's dancing.
All right. So we have to guess what happened. So she picked out, two or three of them?
Yeah, I've got three.
Okay. So play the first one, and here we go.
Hold on.
We are.
Sorry, he's waking up.
Well, it certainly is chilly today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chilly for sure.
Were they scooping chili?
I feel like they're...
So what's going on? What's going on?
Eating or scooping chili?
Eating or and or scooping.
They sound like they're outside, though.
Or pouring chili like over their head.
Shutters, cameras going off.
They sound Russian, so they could be...
I like how they talk.
Putting chili on their head.
Maybe they're spilling chili like Kevin.
Oh, it's got to be something silly.
Spilling it on their heads.
Yeah, I'm going to go... I'm going to say they're throwing chili everywhere.
At each other.
I'm going to say they're performing a seance.
That's going to be his answer to everything.
Okay.
They're throwing chili at each other like so.
Now, I tell you what you have to do is play it again, turn the camera around, the phone around, and show us what's going on, and then explain it to the podcast listeners.
I got to wait until it restarts.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Wrong one.
Wow. It certainly is chili today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chili for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
I was right.
You were not.
So what is happening is these people, all these teens are in their cars, and they are somewhere where it is so cold that whenever you're sitting in your car and you roll your window down, there's just a sheet of ice sitting there where the window was. And so they're all busting through the ice with their heads, looking like they're breaking their own windows, but it's actually just ice. And they're going, man, it sure is chilly today.
So no chili involved.
No chili involved. So we kind of lost out on that one. Okay.
We can come up with some good ideas though.
Hey, Justice just woke up, so he's grumpy from his nap. Come here, buddy. You want to come meet? Let me hold you.
You
want
to go, Papa?
Come here, Papa. No, he's still kind of sleepy. And Kyler's over there in the background playing Giddy Up. So play a Instagram Real Deal number two. See if we can guess this one here.
You're going to have to give me a minute again. He closed my app.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I feel like that's Kyler.
It's a baby laughing, but we probably need to guess what's making him laugh.
Playing in a puddle of chili. Having the time of his life.
First time in the snow.
First time seeing?
I'm going to guess it's a kid laughing because the puppy dog is licking his face.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
I'm going to say they're laughing at their reflection. Ooh, I don't know.
Okay.
That's something Jerry did.
All right, turn around, play it so we can see it.
I was right again.
It's toilet paper.
It is
toilet.
A baby. Ruining the quarantine for the parents and taking all the toilet paper.
He's running all the toilet paper
he's
off the
roll. He's running all the toilet paper off the roll.
Is it going into the toilet stool?
No, it's going on
the floor. Okay, he's just running all the toilet paper and he's laughing at it. All right, you got one more?
Yes, I got one more.
Third one.
Third time's a charm. Sounds like a dog.
What is happening?
Oh, I know what it is.
I know this one. I can't answer it. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
I know what it is. It's a cappella group trying to recreate sounds they're hearing.
Have you seen this one?
I've seen some similar.
Okay, I've seen it too. I already knew what it was, so.
Seance.
No, I can see that.
Yeah, turn around and play. It's really, watch this. This is cool. That's exactly right. It's that these guys are playing. I think the first one was an electric toothbrush.
Yeah, hold on.
And then they run, turn it on, turn it off, and they actually make it with their noise, with their mouth.
I've seen these guys before.
This.
That was good.
Wow. The second one was.
So the first one was an electric toothbrush. The second one is them drawing a marker on cardboard. The third one is them scratching their foot on a tile floor.
Squeaking their rubber shoes.
Yeah. Squeak, and the squeak. Last one is a sound on their phone of a car or of like a little horn going.
So they play the real sound effect, then they imitate it with their mouth. So that's yes. pretty cool. All right. So that's the real deal.
On youth game.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, you should it do is. That, actually.
Should be doing. Yeah. Should do it with the youth. So anything else we got to cover up here? I got something I want to talk about, but it's like weird.
You going to do my jokes?
Oh, weird. Your jokes podcast or a pod jinx.
Now, the moment you've all been waiting for. It's time for Pod Jinx, where corny kids' jokes never grow old. Here's your joy-filled jester,
Travis. Oh, snap. Johnson. Oh, snap. Justice is helping with the soundboard. Phenomena.
All right, I got these 50 jokes that are terrible. Cheesier than a dairy farm. They're cheesy. They're not terrible. Smell that dairy here.
They're Gouda.
They're really Gouda. And I'm seeing these jokes for the first time. You are. At the same time, you are for the first time. Are you ready?
Yep.
No. Yep.
Let's get it, girl. What did the president say when a man threw cheese at him?
Cheese.
Not are you
what
kidding
did the
me?
President
say when somebody threw
I don't understand why this has to be the president.
So it doesn't.
So it has nothing to do with like
just somebody
or,
being thrown cheese at. It's nacho.
Whatever the teleprompter
who throws
told him
cheese, to. Honestly.
Nacho.
Nacho best shot.
Stop being a Munster.
Monster.
Munster cheese is Munster.
How dairy. Or whatever the teleprompter says.
How are the kids laughing? Not even in here yet, Travis.
I don't know.
Get him in here.
This is a polka dot band. Come on, kids. Polka dot band.
Little Justice is wanting to get involved. He wants the earphones on.
Are you ready?
You have to listen to it, buddy. You got to put the earbuds on. You don't want to. All right, question number two.
All right. Why did... What? Why did Lewis Hamilton have too much cheese? Who's Lewis Hamilton?
Is that a president?
I know who Alexander Hamilton is.
Alexander Hamilton.
Alabama Hammer Man.
Why did
Lewis Hamilton is a race car driver?
Oh.
Okay. That helps.
Okay. Why did Jeff Gordon have too much cheese?
There we go.
He had
a wheel of cheese. There's a wheels of cheese.
How about wheels?
Why did Dale Earnhardt have so much cheese?
Too soon.
Junior.
Not really.
Give him a cheddar shot? I don't know.
That's good.
Oh, I like that.
That's pretty good.
That's good, actually.
Hey, is this going to be the last one? Or
yeah. Okay. And on a high note. Because he won the Grand Prix.
Oh.
Ah, okay.
Grand Prix.
I despise these kids.
That's all,
I don't
folks.
Know a lot of cheeses.
Okay, you...
I don't either.
You write me 50 of your best jokes, and I'll do them after these are done.
Done.
Okay.
They have to be appropriate.
They're
though.
All yeah. just making
don't
fun
set
of,
him up.
They're all just making fun of Randy.
Every answer is going to be a it. Seance.
Really?
Yeah. So, all
why
right.
did the chicken cross the road? To get to the seance.
What's your fetish with that all of a sudden?
I just said it, just this whole thing. It's
so how,
like
your, how did the baptism go today? Tell us about that.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I guess we're the only ones who heard it.
Who was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was Aubrey.
How old is she now?
I don't know how old she is. 12 or 13?
11.
Or 12.
11.
She can't be upstairs until she's 12. What's
she's in sixth grade.
So she's smarter.
No.
Yeah, we kind of graduate based on grade, so whatever. I don't get that, but whatever.
But yeah, she's 11. About to be 12. She's about to be 12.
Close enough. So you didn't slip and drop her in the baptistry by accident and not pull her up in time?
It was funny because pastor was like, okay, start saying stuff. And I was like, dude, I'm just going to recite what my dad always said.
And it was?
And I said it.
Well, what did you say? Tell us.
I can't think of it.
We don't know what that said.
Aubrey. Well, that was the funny thing. I was trying to get her name like Lennox Clemens. I couldn't remember.
Lennox.
So I just said Aubrey.
She's got a hyphenated last name, tricky.
Aubrey, upon the confession of your faith and obedience to the word of God, I now baptize you for the remission of sins in Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I dunked her.
Dunked her good.
And I threw her out.
You maybe should have done a second. Just kidding. She's our ace. So we're allowed to.
So does she get completely wet or just?
I kind of put her in as much as I could, all the way to the bottom. Her feet were sticking up, man. No, I'm kidding.
Are you serious?
No.
I was just worried her gown was going to come out too.
I didn't know how far I should go or mm-hmm. like. So I kind
as
of
deep
got
as
her,
you
like,
could
like that, and then I brought her right back up.
Yeah. If the feet come out, it doesn't count. You got to do it again.
I looked up how to do it, and it said you need to go like all the way down.
Yeah, it's completely wet.
Well, all morning.
Google tells you the right way to baptize.
All morning, she kept saying like, "I've never been baptized before. I've never been baptized before." Like, that's the point.
That's the point.
And she kept asking us, "Have you been baptized?" Like, yes.
In all seriousness, you probably shouldn't have added the bubbles first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bubbles were not.
Bubbles weren't a good touch. You should have not done that.
He put bubble bath in there?
Yeah, he put bubble bath in there.
Oh, Jared, you didn't tell us that you put bubble bath in
there? I thought I was
Why?
Messing up. I was like, what do you
our,
mean?
Our other
the
little
jet
niece.
Things broke.
Our other little niece looked at Candace, our pastor's wife, right after and was like, why you put cold water in your bathtub? Like, she was like furious that there was cold water in the bathtub.
Yeah. Now, when we baptize our children, we put these big old rubber duckies in there and they float in there. And then when they're done, we give them one of the rubber duckies and it has their little. The date I got baptized on it.
That's a step up your game. Mm-hmm.
Now you don't have some
even
people
bigger duck.
Some people frown on that, but this is for kids, and so
a live duck.
We ask them,
they get their shirts and stuff.
Yeah, they get a shirt from church. Leg. And then so for the kids, hey, you want rubber ducks in the baptistry? Because sometimes some kids are like they don't know what to expect getting this thing of water. The rubber ducks kind of help ease attention, I guess, if there's any. And some kids like them in there and enlightens it for them, and some kids don't. Care.
And then we give them
no, don't put them in there.
And then we give them like a jar of baptistry water to take home for like the home edition for their siblings.
I got baptized in my bathtub.
Like when you get home, throw this on your brother, and he'll love it. Trust me, it's a home edition.
A jar of baptistry water.
Commemorative.
Take home.
It's a take home gift.
That's good stuff.
Is it?
I'm eating a cracker.
It's like when you take sand home from the beach or something.
Yeah. I still have a rock from China.
Oh my gosh.
Somewhere.
China. I think that's a good place to call it.
Oh, call you mean be done?
Be done.
Be done? Okay. All right, let's flush this.
End on a high note.
End on a high note. All right. We're looking at, hey, I do have this in the works. We're going to do a phone interview with a guy from Canada.
Can't do Beverly.
And
I'm
going to
say Tim Hortons, eh?
No. He actually writes kids' church music, and he's on YouTube a lot. He's not really out there yet, but I like watching this guy. He's really different. And I've already been in touch with him. He's willing to do it, but
cool.
I'm trying to see if we can set up a good phone system for our thing here.
Oh, that's Beverly.
Can't, you know. And otherwise, if we can't, we'll just kind of maybe do a Zoom thing or whatever, interview or whatever. We'll see how that works out. But that is in the works. We're going to have this guy on here. He does Joyful All Music.
Joyful All Music.
Yeah.
Like that's his name?
No, that's the name of his, I think it's the name of his YouTube channel or whatever. But Joyful All Music. I can't remember. I think it's how it goes. Anyway, and we might play some samples of it next time before we get him on here and just do a little interview for him for more segments. Then we'll be doing the, before then, we'll probably do the Jungle Book, I guess. We'll probably look at in the Jungle Book.
My favorite is Hunchback, but That's probably
Hunchback of Notre Dame. That'd
be
a tough one.
That's my favorite kids movie. It's
we could try
so dark.
It.
Why?
We could try it. All right, let's get out here. Carol, get us out of here.
I was
guys, we'll see you next time. Well, not see you, but.
See ya.
Yeah. Towel, clean up aisle four.
Wow, dude, you're licking all that up. Did you say Hong Kong?
Seems we just get started. And before you know it, guess it's time for me to sing.
I already have my guest.
So
what is it?
Just that.
I've never been to Planet Hollywood.
I've been there.